All right, Rebbe Osai, good morning. Good morning. Let us begin. So we're continuing today, Meretz Hashem, in Perek Yotes, in Mesilas Yesharim, Chelkei HaChasidus. So if you remember again, yesterday's shir, we began where we're still focusing ultimately again on the concept of Yira, on the concept of awe and reverence. So the Ramchal continues today, how does one cultivate a sense of awe and reverence for HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Up until this point, we've spoken about humility and embarrassment. Now let's begin to discuss a little bit more regarding kavod, regarding how to go ahead and display honor in our service of Hashem. And the displaying of honor, displaying of kavod, is in and of itself a form of yirah. Chazal already spent significant time discussing with us and alerting us or sensitizing us to the kavod and to the honor that we have to bring to mitzvos. Va'amru zekeli va'andeyu. Remember again, quoting the pasuk from Az Yashir, this is my God and I will exalt him. And what does that mean? Hisnoi lefanav mitzvos. It means that when I do mitzvos, I should do mitzvos in a beautiful way. Meaning, tzitzis noa, have nice tzitzis, Tfilin Noah, nice tfilin, Sefer Torah Noah, a nice Torah, Lulav Noah, and a beautiful Lulav. V'chein Amru, Hidr Mitzvah Achlish, so too again Chazal said that for Hidr Mitzvah, for beautification of a mitzvah, one has to spend an additional third. Ad kan mishalom, mikan ve'elach mishal HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The amount you spend ultimately again on the additional mitzvah, that ultimately again is what you truly contribute to the mitzvah. We'll say, now what does this mean? What Ramchal is highlighting over here is, remember, we're focusing in Chasidus, specifically again in the second part of Chasidus of Ofen Ha'asiyah, the way I perform mitzvos. And in this section of Ramchal is highlighting over here is that the way in which I perform mitzvos should be done with kavod, should be done with honor. What does it mean to perform a mitzvah with kavod? That's Hidr Mitzvah. And I will say Hidr Mitzvah, beautification of the mitzvah. What does it mean to beautify the mitzvah? Exactly as well, so we all know this. In life, you could perform a mitzvah in a way that just simply discharges an obligation. I could perform a mitzvah in a way which checks the box. I've done what it is that I am supposed to do. That's the core obligation. Right? That's the core obligation. And then there's Hidr Mitzvah. Hidr Mitzvah is I go above and beyond. That's kavod. That's kavod. Fulfilling the core mitzvah, that's my obligation. Going above and beyond, and again, this is specifically talking about physical beautification of the mitzvah. You could buy any pair of tefillin, even as long as it's kosher and you fulfill the obligation, or I could buy a beautiful pair of tefillin, I could use any type of lulav, not any type, but you know, a kosher lulav, a kosher esrog, or I could spend money and go ahead and buy something even more beautiful. That's hidr. And that ultimately says the Ramchal is a form of kavod. Hari Adas, I'm sorry, Hari Das is so same Zechron the Bracha. Bar Melelu, Shein Dai Basos Hamitzvah Levad El Shetzarach Lechabda Ulahadra. Chazal are clearly trying to express to us something very important, which is it's not enough just simply to perform the mitzvah; rather, one must go ahead and display honor and contribute, and I should say, and display beauty to the mitzvah, kavod and hidr. So sometimes what people say is, come on, I don't have to worry about hidr mitzvah. Why? God doesn't need it. It doesn't matter to God if I buy the least expensive pair of tefillin or a more expensive pair of tefillin. It doesn't make a difference according to God if I go ahead and I run and I grab a little of an esrog or I take the time to see something beautiful. Does that really matter to God? God is busy running the universe. It matters to him if I got, you know, a type like this esrog or a type like that esrog. Amnam ha'emes hu sha'adon ha'kavod baruch hu nikra kel ha'kavod. Kadosh Baruch Hu is called the God of honor. Va'anu chayavim lechabdo. And we're obligated therefore to honor him. Afa pi she'en tzarech lechabdenu, v'lo kevaldenu chashu v'safon lefanov. They both say, this is an incredible idea. Says Ramchal, you're right. Does God need it? Does God need it? You see, here's the great thing about being God. You need nothing. Who needs Hidr Mitzvah? Bosai, who needs it? I need Hidr Mitzvah. I need Hidr Mitzvah. Because the more effort you expend to suffer something, the more you go ahead and you invest in something, the more important that thing becomes to you. Hidr Mitzvah is not because the Ribono Shel Olam is waiting, holding his breath up on high, that I'm going to choose a nice lulav and esrog. That's not what Hidr Mitzvah is. Hidr Mitzvah is me demonstrating that I'm invested enough in this relationship that I'm not just going to check the box. I'm not just going to do what I have to do in order to get by, but instead I'm going to push myself. I'm going to invest a little bit more. I want it to be more beautiful because at the end of the day, it's more important. It's important for me. I'll never forget when I was getting engaged. I went to get a ring for my wife, and I went to someone who, family friend. I found actually a Jew who works in the diamond business. It was incredible, like the last guy. Anyway, so he shows me a whole bunch of things, and he showed me this big beautiful diamond, and I said, "Wow, this is clearly not in my price range." He said, no, it has an imperfection. And he turned it on the bottom, and it was there. Like, you didn't even need, what did they call those things? Like the loop. You didn't even need the loop. It was right there. But he said, don't worry about it, because it's going to be in the setting. So you'll never see the imperfection. It's a person, okay. But every single time I see my friend in that ring, I'm going to know that the imperfection is there. I'm going to know that it's there. So it's great. It's this big, beautiful, but Lamaisa, it's imperfect. So I said again, I didn't think it was like the best way to start a marriage, giving something that you knew by definition was imperfect and blemished, right? It looked good, right? It looked perfect on the outside. What Ramchal is saying is, at the end of the day, you could fulfill your obligation in relatively simple ways. But Lamaisa, Hidr Mitzvah says, are you invested in this relationship? Are you invested? And if you're invested, give it what you can. Don't just do what you need to do in order to get by. Don't just do what you need to do in order to check a box. But if you're invested in the relationship, then make it beautiful. The Rav Chaim goes on. He says, "Mishma ma'it bazeh b'makom shiyachol harbos ina alachote." The boss is actually a pretty strong wording over here. The Rav Chaim says, "Bless you, whoever has the ability to go ahead and engage in hidr mitzvah and doesn't do so is called a sinner." The Rav Chaim says that is very strong wording. And why is this so strong? Because remember, we'll say, "What's hidr? Extra." Extra additional beautification. And yet Chazal say that if you have the means, you have the ability to make a mitzvah beautiful, to do hidr mitzvah, and you don't do it, you're called a sinner. They both say, now why is it now? But now according to the way that Ramchal explains, it makes perfect sense. Because if I have the ability to make something beautiful, and I don't make it beautiful, at the end of the day, what does that really show more than anything? I'm not invested. They both say, chote, you know, we often translate chet. I should have started at 5:45. All right, fine. We often translate chet as sin. The Maharal says the actual etymology of chet is really the absence of something. So the Ramchal explains, what does that mean? That chet represents a void, an absence. When I commit an avera, I've created a void that could have been filled with kedusha, with holiness, and now it's filled with something else. So chet doesn't always have to mean sin. Sometimes chet just means you're lacking something. Ramchal says you have the ability to invest in a relationship with Hashem, to make it beautiful, to make it special, to make it unique. And I don't do that. What, because it's an extra couple of dollars? Because it's an extra couple of minutes? I could have made it so much more special and I didn't do it? That's called the chote. Not necessarily a sinner per se, but someone who has missed out on a dramatic opportunity and now has this void in his life. This is what the Navi complains to about to HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'klal Yisrael. V'chi sagishun iver lizboach ein ra. You'll bring a blind animal to offer up as a carbon. Is that not evil? Hakridei no lepecha sercha yitzarcha o ayisa panecha. Ulam Chacham Zichron Levracha is supposed to be examples of a blind animal. You know, you could go ahead and bring an animal as a karban, but if it has a mum, right? If it's blemished, so what is it that you're doing? Ulam Chacham Zichron Levracha is you're only sagn hefech ze ba'avoda. Therefore, Chazal charged us with acting the exact opposite way in our avodas Hashem. He goes on va'amru be'inyan ma'im shiniskalu. It's an interesting case. I will say very quickly, Mayim Shiniskalu means, we actually learned this halacha, you're not allowed to drink water that was left uncovered overnight. Now this is not an esoteric idea, this was a very practical idea, the Gemara says. Why? There was concern of snake venom. Snake venom, these live in areas, which is why the Aruch HaShulchan says today you find people not being makir, not being careful with this halacha. Why? The Aruch HaShulchan says very simply, because most of us don't live in areas where there are venomous snakes. So because of that, the concern wasn't really as acute. So Chazal said, "Be'imayim sheniskalu shelo yisaninim b'misnenes mitam imuri de'amri lehedjot legavam mikamar nabos." Now listen to this. Interesting halacha. What's the halacha if you did leave water uncovered? If you did leave water uncovered overnight, what can you do the next morning? You could strain it. The snake venom is thicker than water, so you could strain it, and if you strain it, the venom will be separated. So the Gemara says, that's fine for your own personal consumption. What it's not fine is for sacrificial use. So you can't use strained water for sacrificial use. Lesle hakriveu nala pechasecha. It's not, it doesn't work, it doesn't shtim. Hakriveu nala pechasecha means literally again, bring it close to your gateways. Reina, ma chisaron yesh b'mayim shenistaninu ukvar mutar mehiladyo. What's the problem with strained water? Right? What's the problem with strained water? Again, it's good enough for me to drink, which means that clearly there's no element of sakana associated with it. Afilu hachi asurim heim legavoa. Nevertheless, at the end of the day, you can't use it for karbanic practice. Mishum she'eno derech kavod. Ultimately, again, why? Because this is not considered to be the proper form of kavod. So again, perfect example. Is strained water usable? Is it usable? Absolutely, absolutely, but it's not appropriate usage for karbanic purposes. We'll stop over here for today. We're a little, not totally finishing today's assignment, but Emir Hashem will finish it up on Sunday.